Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And good morning. This is Pastor Tony Romo from South Point Baptist Church, sitting in for Dr. John Coben this morning. And we understand it's going to get to about 68 degrees today. That is pretty comfy. And we're not supposed to get any rain anymore, so that's pretty comfy too. It's comfortable to know that we'll be without the use of our umbrellas for a little while anyway. As we prepare ourselves for this weekend, we need to remember a few things. One of the things that I'd like to remind each of you, hopefully you'll take this a little bit serious or more serious than you have in the past, those of you that haven't considered this yet. We at South Point Baptist Church are having or presenting the Institute on the Constitution. These classes began last Monday at 6:30, and so we'll be having our second class this coming Monday. We had a really good turnout. I don't remember exactly how many folks were there, but we had a pretty good turnout, and a lively discussion after towards the end of the course or the class. I'll tell you a little bit about how we do this. We first start out with a 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. And once we get through this video, then we review some of the questions or some of the statements that he's made and some of the verses that he's used to make his points about government and so forth. Right now, we're just barely starting to lay out the foundation, so we'll be two or maybe 3 weeks laying out the foundation before we actually get into the study of the Constitution itself. And and once we review those questions, then we have a question and answer session and discussion. So it can be a blessing to you, and it's very educational. It's been very educational, and we've only been through one class so far. So I'd like to invite you to come and join with us. If you're not ready to commit, which is a term that many people are using when I talk to them about this program, we're talking 12 weeks, 11 weeks now, and they'll say, well, they're not ready to commit. They're not sure they want to commit for that many weeks. Well, I can understand that. And so what I tell them, well, look, why don't you just come to at least one class and just audit that class? You won't get a notebook. You haven't decided what you want to do just yet, and just sit through the class with us and see what you think about it. I think once you do that, I think it'll be you'll get excited about it, and you'll be interested, and you'll want to continue to come, and you'll want to sacrifice those 2 hours every Monday evening for the next 11 weeks. And, well, it'll be for your benefit, but, of course, the next generation behind you will benefit from it too if we begin to implement some of those things that we're learning. If you're interested in coming to the Institute on the Constitution, call the number 269-1443. That number is 269-1443. If you want any more information or directions as to how to get there or to register, call that number and we'll get you lined up for Monday. All right, well, like we said, Dr. John Coben is not here this morning. He's off on a trip and should be back on Monday, Lord willing. In the meantime, we'll try to carry on here without him. If you were listening yesterday morning, we had an interview, a telephone interview with Chuck Baldwin, and it was a pretty good interview. There were some things there that perhaps you may not have agreed with, or perhaps did agree with, and maybe he should have elaborated a little bit more. There were some things that came up during that conversation or that interview, homeschooling and public schooling and that sort of thing. Some of the things that that he mentioned I called in my own self yesterday and asked him a few questions, a couple of two or three questions. And so it was pretty interesting. It went on for about an hour. I think it's about 1 hour. I'm not sure really, but anyway. But it was pretty lively and interesting. And if you have any comments on any of that, as you were listening yesterday, you can call in and give us your opinion, and we'll be glad to listen in. Now, if you get too crazy, we may just cut you off. But in the meantime, go ahead and call in, and we'll be glad to listen. Also, later on this morning, we will be interviewing someone else. His name is Frank Janoski. He's from Christian Exodus, which is a ministry that's based in, I believe it's Valley Springs, California. They've got different places where they operate from, and they have a particular person here living in the Greenville area that represents Christian Exodus. And we're going to interview him and find out what Christian Exodus is all about. And perhaps after that interview, some of you may want to either know more about it or find out how you can be involved in it. Well, actually, during the interview, you'll know how you can get more involved in it. And so we're looking forward to that. Frank Janoski from Christian Exodus. I want to read something, too. We carry around, most of us in our church from South Point Baptist Church, we usually carry around a New Testament with us and a copy of the Constitution, or we call it, it's called the Citizens Rule Book. And you have the Bill of Rights in there. You've got a jury handbook. You read about those things. And there's some quotations in here that are pretty interesting from years past. For example, there's a quotation here from, I believe this is a Supreme Court ruling that says, "All laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void." That's a particular quote from this Marbury versus Madison. Also, there's one that we have here, Norton versus Shelby County. It says, "An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties, affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation and inoperative as though it had never been passed." So we have certain statements, certain rulings that have come down from Supreme Court decisions. And we talk about precedents as far as Supreme Court rulings. Where's the precedence on these particular rulings? There's many laws that have been written that are repugnant to the Constitution and should be null and void, but yet we enforce them, and we enforce them with maximum force. And you can probably think of a whole list of things that are being forced on us as law. We talk about the rule of law. Well, the rule of law is the Constitution of the United States. Any other law written that is repugnant to that Constitution should be null and void, and according to the Supreme Court rulings, are null and void. And we have a lot of things going on in this country today that shouldn't be going on because how we are not even paying attention to the Constitution, of not just ignoring it, but destroying it, actually. So, in any event, as we continue on, we'll just continue to read some of these articles and some things that we're going to be talking about. But again, as we talk about some of these things where I've mentioned some of these statements from the Constitution, statements from certain rulings from Supreme Courts and those kinds of things, we need to remember where all this is coming from. There's a precious document that we call the Constitution of the United States, and we need to do everything we can to protect that. Our president and our congressmen and our judges, they take an oath and they swear that they will protect that Constitution and defend it. And it's almost like immediately after they take that oath, then they go into their office and begin to destroy our Constitution by writing unconstitutional law and making unconstitutional decisions judicially. So we're in a fix. So we need to try to fix it and get out of this fix. Well, we need to take our first break this morning, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back. I was reading a little bit of some articles that I've got here, and I got kind of caught up in it. I've got another statement here, or a ruling. I'd like to read that as well, if I could. I'm doing this because, after all, today is a sad day in many people's lives. It's April the 15th. We know what that means. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, it is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment, and not merely from the date of the decision so branding it. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. You don't need a brilliant expositor or a constitutional attorney to figure that one out. Well, April the 15th, this is the day that so many people are dreading. It's a sweating bullets day. And again, it's more evidence of the kinds of tyranny that we're under. You know, there's this particular, I don't remember who I'm quoting here, but there's a statement that someone made years back that says, When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fear the people, there is liberty. Now, I find it to be right now where people are fearing the government and anything that we do. When you think about it, I mean, especially today on April the 15th, you know, this is the day that signifies to me the utmost in tyranny, in a tyrannical government. We're under tyranny in all areas of government, whether it's judicial, whether it's legislative, or whether it's executive government branches. We're also forgetting that there's one other government branch of government that is very ineffective and inactive, and that's we the people. We need to start doing something about what's going on here. Otherwise, we're going to lose not only our freedoms, but our country as we know it. It's rapidly moving downhill, and it's accelerating as time wears on. There's another article here this morning by Chuck Baldwin. Many of you probably have already read it this morning if you're an early bird like I am. And I'd like to read that, explain to you that, of course, he's being sarcastic with this particular article. And but there's a lot of truth in sarcasm. Sarcasm sometimes can be used very effectively to convey certain truths. So here's Chuck Baldwin writing, "Let's hear it for Dr. Control." So my friend Derry Brownfield recently carried an article in his newsletter written by Nathan Tabor for Newsmax.com. It bears repeating. Quote, "According to statistics provided by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, there is an interesting correlation between accidental deaths caused by guns and those caused by doctors. There are 700,000 physicians in the United States that cause 120,000 accidental deaths each year. Accidental death per physician is 0.171%. There are 80 million gun owners in the United States responsible for 1,500 accidental gun deaths per year. For a percentage of accidental deaths per gun owner of 0.000018. Doctors are 9,000 times more dangerous to the public health than gun owners. With such statistics, one would think that there would be an avalanche of politicians and social commentators clamoring for doctor control. After all, since public health and safety are the paramount issues today, it stands to reason that this glaring loophole must be corrected. Therefore, Congress should quickly introduce strict doctor control laws to avert disaster." So where are our safety-minded friends? Do they not care that thousands of potential deaths are hanging in the balance? Where is their compassion and sense of moral obligation? Furthermore, should we not crack down on doctor manufacturers? After all, it is not just the doctor, it is the doctor manufacturer that is equally culpable. Therefore, we need to see serious legislation that would allow medical schools to be held liable for any and all deaths caused by a doctor. Beyond that, we need to affix stiff taxes on doctor tools and equipment. After all, when doctors inflict harm, he is also loaded with high-capacity scalpels, needles, and electronic equipment. Truly, no doctor needs more than 10 rounds of medicine. Obviously, any cylinder which is capable of greater capacity should be immediately banned. Therefore, I am calling on all concerned citizens to begin petitioning their respective members of Congress. Let me stop right here and take a break, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back. We just had Frank Janoski walk into our studio. We're not quite ready for his interview, but we'll look into that in just a little bit. Let me finish reading this article that I was reading here. Let me go back and pick up where I was. I'll overlap somewhat. It says, therefore, I'm calling on all concerned citizens to begin petitioning their respective members of Congress. Tell them you want strict doctor control, laws implemented immediately. Tell them you especially want Congress to do something about assault doctors. Those are doctors that pose no extra risk but look menacing. They must be removed from hospitals and clinics with all haste. If we act quickly and decisively, we might be able to save America from a terrible fate. Let's hear it for doctor control. Well, like I said, this is a pretty sarcastic kind of article, but it makes the point, doesn't it? Of course, he's relating this to gun control. Everything he's mentioned here are the kinds of things that arguments that folks have, when in fact the doctors have accidentally been the cause of more deaths, percentage-wise, per capita, if you want to say it that way, than gun owners have. So the arguments for gun control really are not legitimate arguments. These arguments are really, they have an agenda. The people that are making these arguments have an agenda, and that is to get rid of guns. And again, we have to be extremely careful about this thing, especially moms and wives. You know how not all women, but a lot of the women in our culture and our society are just afraid of guns. They just don't want to be around them. And well, that's nothing wrong with that. You ought to be afraid of them, and they are dangerous, but they are also necessary, because that's what it takes to protect oneself from someone that's trying to do harm to you, whether it's some criminal or some criminally minded government official, let's say. All right, so we know why these particular laws were written, or I say particular laws, there's only one really that, there's only one gun law that's legitimate. And, of course, that would be the Second Amendment. And let me read that. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Now, if anybody knows the exact numbers, you might want to call in and let us know what those are. But I heard that it was somewhere around 20,000 gun laws that we have in America, or plus 20,000 gun laws in America. Now, that's 20,000 plus gun laws too many, because that's an infringement. When do we consider gun laws an infringement? 25,000? 30,000? 40,000? Pick a number, I guess. I don't know. But I know, well, I do know. I know that one gun law is one too many, because the Second Amendment has already stated that. Now, I don't know why in the world we're not getting upset about those kinds of things. Sure, there's some folks that are. There are some movements that are designed to give us our gun rights back. And but for the most part, most people are walking around indifferent about these things. They're not all that concerned about it, particularly Christians. Christians ought to be totally concerned about this, because it's something that's guaranteed. It's a right given to us by God himself, and the Constitution guarantees that it will not be infringed upon us. Well, anyway, if you want to look that up, this is Chuck Baldwin's article in his website this morning. Check it out. There's a lot of other good articles that he has on his website. Also, you just go through his archives, and you can click through there and pick out whatever subjects that you may be interested in. But this is the latest one that he put out this morning. And so, in the meantime, let's get fired up about this thing. And especially when it comes to days like today, it's a reminder. Every April the 15th, not only should be a reminder that you better hurry up and get your taxes filed and sent in, but it ought to be a reminder of how oppressive our government is anymore. For many years, it has been. We have been talking about those kinds of things in our Sunday school class, and I mentioned that before to many of us on the air and folks that we know, that we have a particular Sunday school that we're still Sunday school class that we're still calling the Christian Worldview Sunday school class. And we have three different categories that and how we are formatting these particular issues that we talk about. The one issue or one category would be the social / cultural issues, would cover things like marriage and divorce, homosexual issues, economics, abortion, Southern heritage, American rights, citizen rights, and on and on and on. All right. Then we would go to governmental / political issues, which would include things as unconstitutional taxes, liberty-threatening laws like the Patriot Act, restrictive gun laws. Any gun law, by the way, is restrictive, so we need to get rid of them all. States' rights, illegal immigration, and issues such as those. All right. Then we would go into the ecclesiastical / spiritual issues. That would cover things like unscriptural church growth movement. You know, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, cutesy smiley Joel Osteen, folks like that. Hey, listen, you know, this is serious stuff. You're being smiled right into deception with folks like these. And we discuss those issues in our Sunday school class under that category of ecclesiastical and spiritual issues. There's very many popular but unsound doctrines. We talk about ordaining women pastors. How do you feel about that? You want to get in there and scuffle it up with us? Come on, join us in the Christian Worldview Sunday School class at 9:45 at South Point Baptist Church. How about the ecumenical movement? How about cult identification? Could you identify a cult? Could you tell if someone was in a cult or not? You know, a lot of these cults have really Christian-sounding names. Could you identify one of those? Well, we talk about those issues as well. All these things are things that are important to the church. Sometimes we want to just, I hear things sometimes from certain folks, a certain group of Christians, and they keep saying things like, well, brother, just stay in the book. Just stay in the book. Well, yeah, the book, and of course they're making reference to the Bible, but the book also says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Now, we're talking about, or the Bible here is talking about, the people of God being destroyed or cut off because they're ignorant. But it's not just ignorance, it's willful ignorance, because he says in the very next phrase, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So, when we, there in our particular Sunday school class, we are coming along with knowledge. We're learning about the Bible, particularly through our expositional type preaching, expository preaching, but also we're learning about these issues through this Christian Worldview Sunday School class. So as we continue in our class, and if you want to join us in these hearty, lively discussions, we invite you to come and join us. It's at 9:45. So in the meantime, let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we're back, and this is Pastor Tony Romo here sitting in for Dr. John Coben. He's off doing something, and I don't know, he didn't tell me what he was doing, but it's probably something he ought not be doing. But in any event, we can quiz him when he gets back. In the meantime, we're going to start our interview. I've been looking forward to this for a while because this is something that I need to know more about, although I've already heard a lot about it, but there's more that I'd like to hear. We have in our studio Brother Frank Janoski, or is it Dr. Frank Janoski? Okay, well, it's not. Okay, so it's not doctor. But Frank Janoski, and he's from Christian Exodus, which is a ministry based I believe in Valley Springs, California, although I've got other materials that have other places listed on there, so it may be more than just one place. In the meantime, he'll answer those questions for us, we hope. And we do have a phone number, I guess, do we not? To call is the 241-8177, 244-8177. Need to go check my eyes a little bit here. So, what we're going to do is interview Frank Janoski. And if you have any questions you would like to follow up, or maybe you're interested in particular things about what he's going to be saying, or follow up a question that maybe I had and maybe you weren't satisfied with it, perhaps you can just call in that number and follow that up yourself. So, okay, well, welcome, Frank. We're so glad you could be here with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Pastor Roma.
Yes, sir. I know that you haven't been in this area for too long, but tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, if you would, just briefly, and then I'm going to start asking you a list of questions here, if I could.
All right, sure. Well, first of all, I guess, and foremost, I'm a born-again Christian, Bible-believing Christian, and my vocation is, or background, vocational background is engineering, electrical engineering, computer engineering, and a father of four lovely children, married, happily married to a wonderful wife, and originally from Pennsylvania, transplanted to South Carolina.
Wow. So you're now a Southerner.
That's right.
No matter where you came from, we know where you're at now. And,
that's right.
Well, you better start acting like one. That's what they told me when I first got here back in the early 80s. I better start acting like one, and I did, and I am. All right. Well, you say you're married. How long have you all been married?
14 years.
14 years. Wow. That's a blessing.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, especially in today's society. You know that 50% of the marriages within 5 years end up in divorce, and that's a hard fact to swallow. But in any event, well, let me ask you, what you're involved with this Christian Exodus. What is Christian Exodus?
Well, that's a really good question, Pastor Romo. Christian Exodus, to me, I guess it may be a little bit different from what it actually is. Of course, you know, all of us have our own involvement and all of us add our own personality to the group. You know, to answer that question, Christian Exodus puts out a flyer that actually does a great job in discussing what Christian Exodus is, and I'd like to quote from that flyer for you to give you a better idea of what the group is as a whole.
All right.
First of all, let me tell you what Christian Exodus is not. It is not a cult. I'm just looking at the flyer here. It says, Christian Exodus is not a religious sect of Christianity. It rather is a broad-based, non-denominational Christian project. I firmly agree with that. Our statement of faith is, in fact, broader than those of Christian denominations and in conflict with none of them. If Christian Exodus is labeled a cult based upon its religious beliefs, then it must necessarily follow that all Christian denominations are cults, for their beliefs are narrower than ours, and they would therefore more closely resemble being a sect of Christian Exodus. Furthermore, our beliefs are not extreme, unless, of course, you consider the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the writings of our founders, and the Word of God to be extreme, which some folks do today. Each of our beliefs is based upon statements found in these writings, and you know the vast majority of people in this nation shared every one of our beliefs until the 1860s. Even following the war for Southern independence, the government in this country shared most of our beliefs until the infamous separation of church and state ruling in 1947. Our beliefs are anything but extreme. Rather, they are patriotic and desirous of a return to normalcy. Let's skip down. Second, Christian Exodus is not an isolationist organization. This is very important because some folks have criticized us or mislabeled us as isolationists. It says, we do not seek to withdraw from the world, and that's definitely true. We do not seek to lock down our borders in such a fashion as once witnessed in Eastern Europe. Instead, we recognize the benefits that a Christian nation offers to the world. We desire a Christ-friendly base of operations in which to train up our children and form which to send missionaries to the ends of the earth. We desire a state that lets its light shine upon the nations of the world, not one that keeps the good news to itself. So we're certainly not for taking all of the Christianity, the salt and light, as it were, out of the world. Thirdly, Christian Exodus is not a religious reform movement. It has often been presented to us that we'll never be successful in reforming government until we reform our churches. While we agree that our Christian churches are in dire need of reform, we disagree with the supposition that one cannot happen without the other. Certainly our churches need reform. For crying out loud, our pastors allow money to dictate the topics of their sermons. I actually called in yesterday briefly about that. Some
right,
topics,
I remember that.
You remember the mm-hmm. caller, or the call that day involved, I guess, muzzling the pastors, as it was said, in the
right.
pulpits.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very strongly about that. I think we're almost as, and this might sound extreme, but this is my view, not necessarily the view of Christian Exodus. I'll toss this in here. I think that, you know, it was instrumental to allow pastors to be able to speak their minds, especially speak the truth
mm-hmm.
and not have the truth shadowed
right.
in any way, and to almost sell our birthright for a bowl of porridge,
right.
basically,
mm-hmm.
is what's happening when we worry as and I'm speaking for you, I hope that, you know, not out of course here, but to let our liberties as Christians and let our freedoms and our leading as a pastor be limited by our tax-exempt status.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, and we'll continue here in just a moment with our interview with Frank Janoski. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in this morning for Dr. John Coben. And if my voice sounds a little gravelly, it's because I got up really early this morning after only having about 4 hours of sleep. I was out at Columbia, and I spoke to the League of the South folks about our Sunday school class that I mentioned to you earlier. And what a great group of people. I mean, we're talking about maybe 21 people that were there. It's not a huge group, but they were just so hospitable. They were just flat fired up. And I thought, boy, if we could just multiply this 10,000 times over, we could really begin to impact this culture again, like the church ought to be. We're going to have to just get up and do it. But it was a blessing. And I don't know if any of those folks out there are listening to this broadcast on the webcast, but I promoted this program and this TRN network to them, and I had spoke to some of them before at another meeting and mentioned that. So hopefully they're listening in, and if they are, just thank you so much for such a warm welcome. And I mean, they kept me there longer than I should have. I didn't get home till almost midnight, and the meeting started at 7. Now, figure that out. Yeah, it takes me about an hour and a half to drive from there and all that. But of course, still though, I mean, it was a blessing. I'm not complaining. It was a blessing. I can always sleep some other time. I can't always be there with brothers and sisters in the Lord and patriots, Southern patriots like they are. And you know, you just come away blessed. Well, anyway, we're going to come back to our interview here with our guest Frank Janoski, and he's been a blessing already so far, and I haven't gone very far into this interview. So Christian Exodus, you want to continue to give us a little bit more of what it's about? Or
sure, Pastor Romo. Pick up where we left off. Again, it's certainly my desire to see the proverbial bit, as you will, removed from the pastor's mouths in the pulpit. But again, Christian Exodus, it says, it's albeit that pulpit reform is a worthy endeavor, it is, however, not the mission of ChristianExodus.org. Church reform must remain the mission of other organizations, and there are organizations out there, and I'm fastly becoming aware of them in the South here that are very effective at those issues.
Okay.
It says, fourthly, Christian Exodus is not an educational organization, and as we already heard you say, Pastor Roma, that you are making great strides at your church, which is a real blessing to hear, in educating the people, and I agree with you on that verse from Hosea. It is not an educational organization, though. Certainly we will all continue to grow in knowledge of the scriptures and constitutional law, and Christian Exodus will help its members every step of the way in this regard. However, re-education of the American populace is not why we exist. Plenty of wonderful educational organizations exist and spend a great deal of money getting their message out to the masses, but that mission is theirs, not ours. Lastly, the goal of Christian Exodus is not necessarily secession. It's funny that we're at this point because yesterday, and I'm not sure if the listeners know this, but Christian Exodus has received a lot of media attention. WorldNet Daily, I know we were on, Corey was on, our president and co-founder, Corey Burnell, was on Hannity and Combs and another TV spot. And they of course, love to speak to him about secession. I guess that's what gets everybody excited. But it's interesting. GQ Magazine, Gentleman's Quarterly, has been doing an interview on Christian Exodus. They're going to have a spot. I believe it's in the May, June time frame. That issue will have, hopefully, an article about us that's both informative and entertaining, I guess. But they came to my house yesterday, as a matter of fact, here in Greer, South Carolina, to get some photos of the family. One of the very interesting things was at the Southern Heritage Conference last week, a good friend from Christian Exodus was there, who's also very much involved in the Southern Heritage movement, and he gave me a flag that I had really sort of fallen in love with, or taken a liking to, at least, which I think is a really neat flag. And it just so happens that that flag, it's a red flag with the moon on it, like you have on the Blue State Palmetto flag, but the moon is upside down, and it's got a single star in the center of it. And the banner, it's not a square flag, it's actually like a cutout flag. Anyway, I say all that to say that that flag is actually the South Carolina secession flag. Of course, they wanted me to have that flag in the picture, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So that made for some interesting discussion amongst the photographers, and I'm sure it's going to be quite interesting to see what the perception of that is, or where people go with it. But it's not necessarily our goal to secede from the Union. Although, let me read a bit about what we formally believe. It says, our mission is to reestablish constitutionally limited government founded upon Christian principles. Now, that would be certainly my response to your question that I'm sort of taking a while to answer here, which I hope you don't mind. But I think it's important that the people or the listeners understand what we are all about. I do believe that Christian Exodus, first and foremost, is in line with its mission statement, out there to reestablish constitutionally limited government founded upon Christian principles. Where it is possible to accomplish this goal within the Union, we will do so. If it becomes impossible to accomplish this goal within the Union, then we must press for independence. But what of the man who says, I'm willing to fight for our liberties so long as it doesn't lead to secession? Let's be very clear about this. When government violates your God-given rights, you do not give up your rights. You give up the government.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, we're going to take a brief break here again, but we will come back, and we'll continue our interview with Frank Janoski from Christian Exodus. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back, and we're still on our interview with Frank Janoski, who is the representative of Christian Exodus here in the Greenville metro area. So we'll continue with our discussion here. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask Frank Janoski, the number is 244-8177. If you happen to know him personally, you might want to just call in and give him an attaboy, maybe even. All right, well, so we continue with our interview. So Christian Exodus, you've told us a number of things that it's not, and I know you're working your way up to telling us to what it is, so you go ahead and continue.
All right, Pastor. All right, well, again, I did say briefly that my take, or what I agree wholly with, is our mission statement to reestablish constitutionally limited government founded upon Christian principles. That mm-hmm. that says it quite succinctly. Well, let me tell you, first, we are a political action organization, and we are government reformers. But simply put, Christian Exodus is really just a massive voter mobilization effort. And this is a very important, or key issue, I think, to understanding Christian Exodus. Rather than just get Christians to the polls in November, we aim to get them to the same polling places. We exist to move Christian constitutionalists to a particular section of the country so that we are voting in the same local elections. Additionally, Christian Exodus might be considered a political sub-party, an organization within the existing political parties, because we intend to endorse and run our own candidates in the primaries of these parties. We will implement an organized strategy in electoral politics distinct to Christian Exodus rather than to party.
Now, does that mean when you're saying this, are you saying that if there is a particular, let's say, Republican Party,
yep.
that you feel that they are standing for the principles that Christian Exodus stands for, that you would put your stamp of approval on them and encourage other people to vote for them? Is that
yeah.
more or less the way it works?
Yeah, if you think about it, if it's... you know, out we're there to activate these pollers. So, essentially, if we find somebody who's a Republican Party candidate or a Constitution Party candidate, we're cross party lines. So,
right. okay.
Whoever it is that expresses our views or expresses the view of the that are more Christian biblical worldview or constitutionally limited view, or pro-constitutional view, I should say, then we're going to rally behind that candidate, if you will, and mobilize the forces and get those folks out to the polls and endorsing that candidate.
Okay, so you're not saying, though, that you're going to have a Christian Exodus party?
No.
Like a Republican Party, Democratic Party, nothing like that?
Not at this point. I don't believe
right.
so.
Okay. So it'll be a sub-party, just like you said. And so you'll find those candidates that will stand for those things that a Christian Exodus stands for and promotes, and then promote that particular candidate.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We're I guess the... One of the ways of putting it is promoting accountability or restoring accountability.
Okay, good.
And that seems to be an issue that's lacking today, and we want to be able to take candidates who may even be there. And you know, we're gracious. Mm-hmm. We're as Christians, we want to see folks vote the way they told us they'd vote or intend to vote, and make sure that that's they're held to a standard of accountability. And that's one of the things that our organization can bring is, you know, a force there that helps keep some of these folks, you know, making the right decisions when they go to vote.
So you could say that paralleling it with, say, a labor union, maybe that's not a very good example, but you could parallel it with a labor union that is not a political party, although they're politically active, and they promote a particular candidate and are very effective doing it. Basically, what you're saying, this is the same sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a political action organization.
Right. Okay.
Let me just finish this here quick.
Okay.
And we'll get more into the meat of it. But we are not just Christians at Christian Exodus. It says here we are Christian constitutionalists. Every state in the union suffers economically at the hands of Christians and non-Christians alike. I make a list of unconstitutional government spending. And you will find a sea of Christians clamoring for more of it, just like their tyrannical brethren, the secular humanists. Whether it is Social Security, Medicare, education, international welfare, corporate subsidies, disaster relief, and the like, Christians are not clamoring for the end of these programs. Rather, they're just screaming to receive their fair share. As an email from the Christian Coalition sang praises about the Bush administration for awarding $100 million in abstinence-focused grants for AIDS prevention under President Bush's emergency plan for AIDS relief. Such praise despite the fact that the U.S. Constitution gives absolutely no authority to Congress to spend money on abstinence or family planning or disease prevention programs. None whatsoever. This might explain why the Christian Coalition has failed to reform America since its inception 15 years ago. They don't even understand the problem, and how can they possibly know the solution?
Well, that's a good point. That's really a good point. And perhaps Christian Exodus will be the organization, hopefully it will be, that will begin to make the impact that we're looking to make and reform these particular government officials and executive branches and so forth, because that is indeed true. We the people have never given the government the permission or the license to give away our money, regardless of how lovingly they may do it. All right, well, we're going to be taking a break here, and we'll return in about a minute or two.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we're back, and this is Pastor Tony Romo along with Frank Janoski from Christian Exodus. And we've been having a pretty nice interview here, and he's been filling us all in on what Christian Exodus is all about. And also about what it's not about. We will, if you want more information on this, by the way, you can come to South Point Baptist Church on Sunday. We'll have a stack of these flyers there in our back table. Or you can come on Monday and join us with our Institute on the Constitution study that we've been having. So either way, or you can just call me on that same number. And it's 269-1443. And if you want a flyer to fill you in on what this is all about, we'll be glad to send you one. All right, so here we come back to Frank Janoski, and it's exciting to listen to what he's been telling us. And even off the air while we're going through this break, he's told me a little bit about the things that he's had to experience and so forth as he got around to being involved here. Now I can't hardly wait for you to listen to that, too. Let's see now. So we know what Christian Exodus is now. Now, how did you hear about Christian Exodus?
Oh, well, that's a really good question, Pastor Romo. It's actually kind of funny. I was at church one Sunday, and the Lord had already put it on my heart, or laid it on my heart, to look southward, to try to escape some of the oppression, if you will, that I've experienced up north, some of the environment up there is a little bit harsh, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly taxes, property taxes have reached an all-time high, I would say, just in the short 14 years that I spent in Pennsylvania, we saw our property taxes double. The average home was, the average taxpayer up there was paying about $1,500 to $1,800 a year for their home when I moved into the state some 14 years ago. And when we left, that was upwards around $3,500 to, $4,000 a year taxes for their home. So
wow.
Things had certainly changed up there. And I'm sure you saw in the last election, the political climate has been changing up there. Now, there's a lot of good conservative folks in the area. But God had laid it on our heart, as I had said earlier, to move down or move southward. And I heard about CE through a friend at church one Sunday. He actually handed me a printout from his computer that was an email about Christian Exodus. And he asked me to, he said, what do you think of this? And I looked at it and I thought, well, after a brief cursory read, I said, you know, that sounds very interesting. It sounds like something that would be worth looking into. So that's kind of what started the whole thing. It's mm-hmm. almost like the hand of providence. You know, God had brought that into my path.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was that, you say?
Let's see. That would be maybe about 9 months ago, in the middle of the summer last year.
Boy, the Lord just really began to move you quickly, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Well, you know, it's funny because you know, we know from the Scripture that all things work together for good. The Scripture mm-hmm. says, you know, to those that are called according to his purpose, that the idea that I got behind what God was doing in my heart was he wanted to use me, wanted to move me somewhere, and wanted me to be effective. And what I had noticed was things had already started falling into place. Financially, things were working out to give me the freedom that I needed to make a move like that. And spiritually, we were where we needed to be able to take the step of moving away from your family, which can be somewhat frightening, you know.
Oh, yes.
And, God had shut a door, actually, in Tennessee. He had provided a job in Tennessee, but the real estate market didn't support what we would have liked, so we had a closed door there. But in reconsidering where we'd like to go, we looked at the South again, and God really opened the doors for South Carolina, both for home, job, like I said earlier, finances, and the whole thing just came together beautifully. You could see God's hand upon it.
Wow, that's exciting. That's interesting, plus exciting. Now, when you first heard about it, what did you think? I mean, what was your reaction? Did you talk to your pastor? Did you talk to other folks? What went on?
That's a very good question, actually. It's interesting because I think a lot of that reaction helped me make that decision. One of the things I noticed was... Even though I found it quite interesting, and I went to their website, which I'd like to give to the listeners, www.christianexodus.org is our website. That's .org or .com. We also have a .com, christianexodus.org or .com. I went to their website and started to do some research on them and began to realize that this group was primarily... Christians who were thinking Christians, and that was something that really struck me. Christians Amen. Who you know, were willing to put their minds to something here, not just kind of fuddle through.
Amen, amen, yeah. Well, I know we need to take a quick break here, but don't lose that thought, because we want to hear more about how you reacted and who you talked to and what their reaction was and so forth. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back, and we're continuing with our interview with Frank Janoski, who is the representative of Christian Exodus for the Greenville area, or maybe the South Carolina area. I'm not exactly sure how that works. He can fill us in on that. But he's sharing with us about when he first heard about it, what he thought about it, what his reaction was, what the reaction of other folks that he shared this with may have been. And it's an extremely interesting interview because of it. The Lord has led him within 9 months to go from an established place that he was living with a house and everything else to move to Greenville, South Carolina, and to be involved in this ministry here, this brand new ministry, this infant ministry. So we'll continue with our interview. So you were telling us then, Frank.
Yes, the reaction of folks to this was something that was also a driving force in making that decision. I was going to say that, when we first started to share this, after I'd gone to the website and done some education, had gotten some more education on what Christian Exodus was all about, my first reaction was, these guys are thinking Christians. These guys are intelligent people. This isn't a group of folks who are ignorant and don't know what they're doing, but they're just running around shouting about something they have no idea what they're doing. And I'll tell you, I've ever since been impressed with the folks that are involved with Christian Exodus, the leadership, and the other folks that are brought in for education to help the group understand some of these important principles. But my impression from folks in the area where I was, it was very interesting because I would share Christian Exodus with them and share what I had learned, and a lot of folks were somewhat repelled by that. At least in the immediate sense. Mm-hmm. So folks were kind of, what, Christian Exodus, what is that? You know,
right,
it sounds
right.
like a cult to me. It sounds like you're going down there getting involved with some radicals who are, failed secessionists or something like
right.
that, you know. And so that was very interesting because I found a lot of closed-mindedness in the area for folks who, kind of just gave it the knee-jerk response.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks who were willing to hear more about it or who were actually somewhat curious were much more receptive to really finding out what the organization was all about,
right,
which
right.
Spoke volumes to me about people.
Right. And so what about leadership, people in leadership, or not necessarily just leadership, but family members, dads, uncles, people like that? Did you ever talk to them about what you were thinking about doing?
Yes, I did, actually. It's funny, you find very few, both like you said, dads or my in within my family or within the church who are just really willing to embrace the idea.
Right.
A lot of people just kind of turn you off it's kind of
right.
out there. But to, find folks who genuinely are interested is difficult because most people are kind of happy with the way things are.
Right,
they don't
right.
want to upset the apple cart,
Exactly.
And that's a mindset I think we have an obligation as Christians to upset. We need to go out there and we need to
right.
get these folks thinking again.
Exactly. And that's some of the things that we've experienced, not only in our church with our unusual Christian Worldview Sunday School class, because it's not your typical Sunday School class. So when we share that with certain folks, they look at us like, wow, that's not your traditional thing. You know, you don't. You mean you don't have these little quarterlies from Lifeway Books or whatever? I said, no, we don't. We bring articles from magazines, from websites, from maybe they've been decisions that have come down from the courts or whatever. All those things are our quarterlies, if you will. That's what we use in our Christian Worldview Sunday School class. And so we get that sort of response from people. Say, well, is that really the place for that? Well, if it's not there, where? I mean, because you right. see, as far as Christians are concerned, they don't want to talk about politics or religion at work. Somehow they feel like it's not right morally, and it shouldn't, and it's not right maybe legally. And so they talk about everything else. They talk about the Dallas Cowboys, which is America's team, and just a little plug for the Dallas Cowboys. Or they talk about the Atlanta Braves, which is the other America's team, and those kinds of things. And they do it very comfortably. They don't feel any kind of conviction or guilt about doing such a thing. But when it comes to political things and really serious stuff that is impacting our country and our churches in particular, it's almost like they avoid that because of the ramifications that come with it. In other words, they're going to be in some kind of heated discussion, and they may lose this friendship or at least apparent friendship from folks. And so they avoid that. Also, when I've spoken to them about our Institute on the Constitution, it's the same sort of reaction. It's like, wow, are you sure that's legal? Can you do that? Is that something that is lawful for churches to be able to do, is to hold? Well, yes, it is, but we are so afraid and paranoid, really, about what the government can do to us. It's almost like, let's not talk about anything that's anywhere close to controversial, you know.
Right.
And when we come to situations like this here, too, that is something that may strike people the same sort of way. And again, I have to say this also, is that even though it does upset me that people react that way, I think we need to be really careful and be merciful and generous and gracious to people like that, because, I mean, Jesus died for them. They're our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they have value. So we don't want to destroy them in the process of trying to promote our agenda, if I can use that term, and our agenda is legitimate, by the way, but in the process of our promoting our agenda and conveying our convictions to others, a lot of the times we do more harm than good. We cause them to repel. We cause them to turn away from us because of our attitude about things. And these things are legitimate. This organization and this ministry that you're involved with is a legitimate organization. And I find it to be something that was lacking in the Christian community. And what it's going to do and what it's looking to do is to be very appealing. And we're going to have to take a break here just shortly. But after we come back, I'm going to ask you about what is it about CE that appealed to you personally. In other words, in a personal level, yeah, you liked all the things that they were doing and so forth, but as far as you were concerned and your involvement in it, what was it that really appealed to you in the CE or Christian Exodus movement? So think about that, and we'll come back in just a little bit and pick this right up. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. and thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back, and we'll be continuing our interview and with Frank Janoski. And he wanted to elaborate a little bit or respond a little bit to what I was saying just now about being merciful and gracious to those folks that we are trying to share this kind of ministry with. And their responses sometimes are negative in a sense, or at least not necessarily negative, but they reject the idea offhand because of their, I guess you would say, because of their ignorance of it, right?
Yes, definitely. I agree very much what you said earlier, Pastor Roma, about as Christians, we need to be gracious, we need to be merciful, you know, for our Father is merciful to us.
Exactly.
So, you know, in dealing with a lot of these individuals, I noticed that. I noticed that a lot of the knee-jerk reaction was from ignorance.
Right.
Folks who just, they didn't know, they didn't either know the issues, or, you know, it's like the frog in the pot, you know, idea. They've been in that so long,
right,
they don't even have an idea what kind of environment they're in, so mm-hmm. They're just so used to that. Anything that speaks against that, or sounds even remotely anti-establishment, like that, or at least an establishment in the established ways that things have been for the last 20, 30 years, immediately shocks them, mm-hmm. and so out of ignorance they kind of respond that way. And I think, you know, as you said, above all, we need to be as a group, Christian Exodus needs to be understanding, and we need to get these people re-educated. We need to open up their eyes, if you will, to the truth of what's going on in the country, and
right.
then slowly, you know, move them into getting involved.
Right. Because I know that when we had that meeting in Columbia, this is a little over a month ago, and Corey, I guess he's the national director of, I can't remember, what's his last name? I'm sorry.
Corey Burnell.
Burnell. And hopefully he's listening to the broadcast right now through the webcast. But when we had that meeting there in Columbia, I know there was a lot of questions asked about it, and one of the things that was mentioned by one of the members there, or one of the attendees, was that warning Christian Exodus not to be too highly expectant of the results, because even though South Carolina is considered Bible Belt, blah, 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 with many Christians, I consider it more like a church belt than a Bible belt myself, because there's a church in every corner, but the Christian influence in this community is not what it ought to be, biblically speaking, of course. There's a lot of good folks here, absolutely. But the warning that was given, was that don't expect too much right off the top, because for that very reason. It's because folks don't understand a lot of these things. We've gotten ourselves into, depending on what group of Christian community you belong to, we've gotten ourselves within this box, and no one wants to come out of that box for fear of them being judged by the ones that remain in that box.
Sure.
So there is that spirit that that is permeating churches. No one wants to rock the boat, and you used another term earlier, and I don't remember what it was now, but basically rocking the boat, right?
Right.
Or was that the term you used?
I think it was the apple cart or
something. Oh, the apple cart. There we go. Yeah, the old apple cart.
Sure.
And so no one is willing to do that because it brings attention to them, and it not only attention, but ridicule and criticism, I guess I could say. So, yeah, and as recipients of that criticism and as leaders in these different movements that are trying to establish biblical principles so that we can bring this country back to a biblical foundation, well, it's going to happen, and I guess we need to expect it, but again, have the right spirit about it. We don't need to be shooting people down just because they don't agree with us in those particular areas. Now, we're not talking about sound doctrine or anything, but of course, these different types of opinions that people may have. Now, if some of our listeners are that are listening here this morning, if they're interested in what you're doing and may want to help out in some sort of way, what can they do to help?
Well, that's a really good question. Actually, we talked about this a little bit during the break, I think, but you know, number one, coming down here now, some of the glamour's worn off, and the business at hand is what's become apparent. We need to, as an organization, make it more efficient for folks to be able to do what I did. And not all situations are going to be the same, so not everybody's going to be able to just pick up and sell their house or relocate immediately to South Carolina. So we're on the ground as forces here trying to create a real estate network, trying to create a job network, trying to provide what will be the necessary resources for individuals who are like-minded to make the trip, if you will.
Right.
So as part of this exodus to South Carolina, we need folks out there who are like-minded folks, brothers and sisters in the faith, to rally together and help build this support network. Primarily, I see Christian Exodus inside South Carolina as, you know, there's a lot of other groups, as we already talked about, that are providing other options, you know, for folks or other resources. Our primary resource is to relocate them, to get them all to one place. So we obviously need those support resources, specifically real estate, specifically jobs, because those are the two main things that are going to keep you from moving to South Carolina.
So business owners,
absolutely,
people that have their or that work with an organization that need folks to come and work with them, they should be pretty much aware of all this so that they can help out in these areas, because when folks come in, they'll be looking for work. They have to find
a job. Absolutely. Get the word out, or get to the website, get educated, and help out any way you can, any way the Lord leads you.
Right. Okay. Now, if a church wanted to take it on as a ministry, I know pretty much the answer to this already, but if they wanted to take it on as a mission, could they do that? Or is it something that perhaps maybe just considered like a parachurch thing and they don't want to be involved with churches?
Well, that's interesting. I don't consider us parachurch. We're not like a Promise Keepers or that type of thing.
Right.
We're, like we said earlier, a political active organization. Sorry. And but certainly we're that. And you bring up, that's probably a third very important need that should maybe be first and foremost at this point. We need funding. We need aid. We need help. So
we need money.
We need money. Put it bluntly, we need money.
Exactly.
To make this happen. And God's people, we're looking that they'll be very liberal with their giving here. And yes, Pastor Roma, if there's any churches or other organizations who want to get involved, you can go to our website and you can make contributions, or you can contact our leadership. And certainly, please feel led to make contributions to Christian Exodus.
Well, this is just great, and we're really running out of time anymore. We're getting ready to come at the end of the program, but we do want to give the website again. It's www.christianexodus.org, and you might want to go ahead and check that out. And if you need more information on this particular matter, do you have a local phone number that you would like them to call? Or
sure, yeah, they can actually reach me at home. I'm always available for that. For
you want to give us that number then?
Sure, it's 864-848-9907.
All right, and just ask for Frank Janoski, and he'll fill you in on all the particulars. Well, Frank, I am just so grateful that you were able to come in early this morning for this interview, and hopefully there'll be some people and some churches that would be wanting to get involved in this ministry with you. And I know that we as a small church right now can't get into that just yet, but I've already talked to Corey, and I told him as soon as we could, we're going to be one of the first ones to begin to support this effort. So thank you again for coming this morning, and we want to wish God's blessing on you and the effort that you're involved with. Now, folks, we're going to be concluding the program this morning. Now, this is Pastor Tony Romo in for Dr. John Coben. And just tune in next week, and he'll be back with you. And until then, we'll see you, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial.